Would you please turn, brethren, to the book of Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament. We have Hebrews, Titus, then Hebrews, James, and Peter. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, I want to read verses 24 through 27. Hebrews 7, 24. The Word of God says, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For he did this once when he offered up himself." If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Hebrews 7, 24 through 27. Let's pray. Oh God, bless the reading of your word. Bless the preaching of your word, please. Be our teacher, please, by the Holy Spirit. Come and teach us, lead us into all truth. Edify us, O God, educate us. Bless us to see Christ Jesus. Bless us to be close to you, to one another. O God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. O God, may you be glorified and honored by what we do here today. Teach us, lead us, open our minds and hearts. We beg, help us to focus our attention, O God, on you and your word. We pray in the name of Jesus, our great high priest. Amen. Hebrews 7, 24 through 27, these scriptures begin speaking, the selection that we have this morning begins with verse 24, "But this man," you see, the writer of the Hebrew letter is writing about someone, "but this man." The word "but" precedes the words "this man," and he's going to point out something in particular about this man. This man is the Son of God, God in the flesh. He's talking, the writer of the Hebrew letter is writing about the position of this man relative to other men, relative to other men who were priests. This man is our great high priest. The writer of the Hebrew letter is writing about priesthood, the priesthood of Christ Jesus, and he's comparing it, he's contrasting it with the priest of the old day under the law, the Levitical law, the priest that came from the tribe of Levi. Our Lord didn't come from the tribe of Levi. He says he sprang from the tribe of Judah. One of the differences. But as we studied the book of Hebrews some time ago, we spent a good year or more on it, I think, in the book of Hebrews. One of the things we noticed was the word "better." The word "better" is often used in the book of Hebrews. And when the writer of the Hebrew letter says, "But this man," he's about to tell us something better about this man, the man Jesus, our great high priest, compared to the Levitical priest. "But this man, because he continueth ever." That's one of the better things about him. He describes God the Son. He describes God the Son's position of priest, great high priest, a priest forever, because he continues forever. His priesthood continues forever. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the writer tells us. He tells us about the position of Christ Jesus and his qualities or his characteristics that qualify him to do the necessary work of a priest. Priests, brethren, they make offerings in behalf of the people. In the Old Testament day, if you lived in that day, brethren, and you wanted to make a sacrifice, you would bring that offering to the priest, and he would offer it in your behalf. Last Sunday, I used the verse from Romans about offering yourselves a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. We talked a good bit last Sunday and thought a good bit about offerings and sacrifices. We're on a related subject this week, the priesthood of Christ and his position and the qualities that are characteristics that qualify him to do the necessary work on our behalf. And what was the work, brethren? What was and what is the work that Jesus did and does on your behalf? Well, he saved you. He saved you to God. He saved you from your sins. That work has been done. It's finished. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." And he was referring to the finished work, his dying on the cross, his offering himself to God in your behalf and my behalf. Finished. Fixed. Over. Successful. Completed. All those things. But he also, brethren, because he continues forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood, and a part of that unchangeable, ongoing priesthood is his intercessory work. You have an advocate, brethren, that is every day advocating for you. We have an advocate with the Father, we're told in 1 John. If any man sin, he have an advocate with the Father. Oh, I want to talk to you a little bit about that in a little while, about our great advocate, Christ Jesus. We're going to look at his finished work for just a moment, and then we're going to go back to the verses here that describe Christ Jesus, his finished work. Would you turn just a page or so in your Bible, probably, to Hebrews chapter 10? I want to just cite to you, as we begin, three verses that we went to last week about Christ Jesus offering himself to God in your behalf and in my behalf. The Word of God in Hebrews says he offered himself without spot unto God. Hebrews 10, we're going to look at Hebrews 10:10, 10:12, and 10:14. But just as a footnote, brethren, 10:4 of Hebrews says, "For it was not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." That's a foundational, that's a basic bedrock verse right there, brethren. That's a doctrinal truth right there, that no sacrifice of any bull or goat or anything else you want to bring before God that you could lead up to the priest to offer in your behalf is going to take away your sins. Not possible, the Word of God says. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So look at Hebrews 10:10, 12, and 14. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, you are set apart. Sanctified means, in a nutshell, set apart, separated. You are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. You are separate, brethren, from a group of people that are not sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. You're separate. You're special. And you are special, brethren, in God's sight, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. Last Sunday, I mentioned to you those sacrifices of bulls and goats were made over and over and over. There was a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice, and there were sacrifices throughout the year. People would bring them. But when Christ offered himself, brethren, he did it once. He did it once and for all. I think I said last week, for all of God's elect and once for all time. I was thinking over my notes this morning when I was going over them, and I said, I will tell them about when I was a boy. We used to have this saying. I played with my brother and other boys and girls. We played when we were little children. And when we wanted to stress something, we'd say something like, "I'm going to tell you this once and for all." Did y'all ever say that? We'd say that. "I'm going to tell you this once and for all." In other words, I'm going to say it one more time. And then I don't need to say it again because I made my point. And the writer of the Hebrew lesson, brethren, he says that Jesus, he offered his body once and for all time. Only needed to be done once. And will only be done once. That's 10, now 12. I love the first three words. Do they sound familiar? But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. His sacrificial work was finished because he said so. It is finished. But brethren, when he sat down at the right hand of God, his intercessory work was beginning. And we're going to talk about that intercessory work. Now, verse 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's you in that group that's set apart. That's you in that group. Every born again child of God. And you're sanctified, brethren, forever. Forever. In the sight of God, you're perfected forever. Because he looks at you, as I said last Sunday, through the lens of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how he sees you, through the shed blood of Christ Jesus. Now, brethren, would you go back to chapter 7 and look at verse 24. I'm going to read the verses again, and I'm going to just make some comments, go back and then make comments about them. 7:24 of Hebrews. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Beautiful, beautiful words, beautiful words. Now the ongoing work of our advocate, Christ Jesus. 1 John 1:21. You turn there if you'd like. I'm just going to read that one verse. 1 John 2:1. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. John says, I'm writing to you, little children. And that's not just small children in age who belong to the Lord, but that's you and me. Little children, God's children. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. I don't want you to sin. I'm writing to you. I'm exhorting you. Don't fall into a sinful lifestyle. Don't follow sin. But we know that Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've never met somebody to tell me this, but you all tell me from time to time, and I've heard that people say from time to time, I'm over sinning. I don't sin anymore. And that's not correct. That's not correct. John says, don't sin, but if you do, and I say the same thing to you, don't sin, and you say to me, Brother Mike, don't sin. But when you do, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, an advocate, somebody that advocates for your case. He speaks up, he or she speaks up. Well, in this case, it's Jesus. But an advocate in our day, an advocate is somebody that takes your calls and presents your calls. I typically think of lawyers. Being with the court system for a long time, people would call me from time to time and say, hey, I need a lawyer. Who's a good one? I need an advocate. It was a good one because they knew that I knew a lot of lawyers and had seen them in action, and they'd want to know who's a good one. And some are better than others, of course. And they specialize. Some are in better areas. In certain areas, they practice, they limit their practice. But an advocate advances your cause. He does it before the tribunal, before the judge. We have an advocate, John says, with the Father. We have an advocate before God, before a holy God. If I'm before a holy God, brethren, I know I'm unholy. I want an advocate with me. I don't want to be before a holy God without my advocate. And that's Jesus Christ. John names him. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Do you want a righteous advocate, brethren? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That one that's our advocate, brethren, you can't find a better one. Don't look. I know you won't. But don't look. If you look forever, you'd never find a better one. Because our advocate, brethren, was with the Father in the beginning. He's part of the Godhead. What better advocate could you have? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. We have an advocate with the Father. Thank God for that. Now let's look, brethren, at the qualities of this advocate that qualify him for the job of being our advocate with the Father. But this man, verse 7:24 now. But this man, because he continueth ever. You won't outlive him, brethren. You won't outlive your advocate. No matter how long you live, he's going to be your advocate. If he is now, he always will be. That's comforting to me. Sometimes your doctor dies or retires, you have to go find another doctor, don't you? Or your lawyer. You say, I was used to this one, and I liked him. I thought he did a good job. Now I got to go start over and find it. It's an uncomfortable feeling to find a new one, a new advocate. But brethren, you won't outlive this one. He's always with you. This man, because brethren, this advocate continueth ever. He'll be your children's advocate if they belong to the Lord. He'll be your grandchildren's advocate if they belong to the Lord. Jan and I spent 2 days this week with my grandboys, and I watched them and I enjoyed them and thought about them. I just watched them sometime playing and what they were doing, what they were saying. I was thinking, oh Lord, bless these little boys. Grow up to be men. They're going to face a lot. Help them. Help them. Be their advocate. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And that's comforting, brethren, to a granddaddy or grandmama or a mama or daddy. When you look at your child, you say, if Jesus is their advocate, they're all right. They're going to be all right, no matter what. Though they may suffer, even as we're studying in Bible study, like Job did, though they may suffer, if God, brethren, is with them, it'll be all right. This man, Jesus, because he continueth ever, in the beginning was the Word, he's eternal, he has an unchangeable priesthood. In other words, there won't be one that dies and another one takes his place. It's Jesus. Wherefore? There's the wherefore, brethren. It's there, brethren, because the man Christ Jesus has an unchangeable priesthood, and therefore, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. He's able to save. Wherefore, he's able. He has the authority. He has the power to save. Salvation is in and of Jesus Christ. Jesus told the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, salvation is of the Jews. I think in that context, what he meant was that the Savior is coming from the Jews. In fact, she was looking at him, didn't know it, didn't recognize him. But she would learn him. She would learn him. She'd say later, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. That later in the conversation, she came to that realization. Salvation, wherefore he's able to save. Salvation comes from the Jews. It comes from a Jewish person. Christ Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. And then Nathanael would learn that too. Nathanael, who asked his brother, when brother said, come see, we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Oh boy, did it ever. And did he ever learn that? And Philip said, "Come and see." That's John 1:46. "Come and see." And that same Jesus and Nathanael did go. And Jesus made a comment about him when he walked up. "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said, when did you see me?" He said, "I saw you when you were under the fig tree. Before you were ever talking to Philip, I saw you." And then he recognized him as Messiah. And Jesus says, "Oh, you'll see greater things than this right here, than what I just told you, that I saw you under the fig tree. The one, brethren, who is able to save us, saw us in our fallen state. He looked upon us and said, live." I want to read from Ezekiel. I wasn't going to turn there, but I love this verse. I got to quote it to you. Ezekiel 16:6. I tried to preach this to you one time. The one who saw, the one who has the power to save, brethren, he saw us in our fallen state. And he passed by, and he said, as he passed by, he said, "Live." I love that verse. Here it is, Ezekiel 16:6. "And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood," we were polluted, brethren, we were dead in trespasses and sins, "I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." One word, live. "Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." That's the one, brethren, who has the power to save. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost." You like that? You like that expression? Not partially saved, not saved sometimes and saved others, but saved to the uttermost, to the end. All the way saved, nothing lacking. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him. And that's what, "No man comes to the Father but by me, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Ever alive, ever making intercession. For he's ever interceding to the Father for his children. There's a song that says those words. Verse 26. "For such an high priest," now brethren, a list of the qualities or the characteristics of our great high priest. "For such an high priest became us." In other words, we got him. He came to us. He became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. And he came to us. "He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens." He's holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He's holy. Intrinsically holy. He didn't become holy. I said last week, I'll say now, we become holy, brethren, when the Holy Spirit begins to dwell in us, when we're born again by the Spirit of God. We're sanctified, we're set apart for a holy purpose. We have a practical holiness given us, and we need to exercise a practical holiness. So there was never a time, brethren, when your great high priest was not holy. He's always been holy. He's holy, holy, holy. Aaron, the first high priest, Aaron, in the days of Exodus, the Old Testament days, Aaron was a man. And he was set aside for the priesthood, for a holy purpose, to serve in the temple. But you know what, brethren? He had to sanctify himself. He had to go through ceremonial washings and cleansings before he could ever offer a sacrifice. But we have a high priest who's holy. He's harmless. He causes no harm to you or me, and there's no guile found in his mouth. His character is perfectly harmless to his people. He's undefiled. There's no impurity in him. There's no fly in the ointment. He's undefiled, 100%. No sin of Adam on him. He's outside the chain of sin that was passed down, that is passed down from generation to generation. Undefiled. Separate from sinners. Listen to this now, brethren. Separate from sinners. He's never been numbered with the sinners as he lived, But you know what Isaiah says? He was numbered with the transgressors. In God's eyes, he was seen as a transgressor because he had your sin on him and my sin on him. But none that he ever committed, yours and mine only. Be separate from sinners. Oh, I know the Word of God says, I think the Pharisees said, oh, he eats and drinks with sinners. In that way, he mixed and mingled with them, but to teach them and to minister to them and to convert them, not to have fellowship with sinners. And you and I, the Word of God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. You and I have no business mingling or fellowshipping with sinners. What communion hath light with darkness? You want to minister to them, you want to witness to them, you go ahead. God bless you. He may be using you to convert a sinner from the error of his way, which we studied in James last Sunday night. But stay separate. You're in the world, but not of the world. He's made higher than the heavens. He's above all. He's placed in a position high above all. He excelleth all, them all. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice. Talking about the Levitical priest now. Our great high priest, Christ Jesus, didn't need every day, doesn't need every day, to offer up a sacrifice first for his own sins. Why? Because he had none. He committed none. And then for the people's, he doesn't need to offer sacrifice for his own sins, and he's offered sacrifice already for yours and mine. He did it once when he offered up himself. That's our great high priest, brethren. That's your advocate with the Father. And he now, brethren, let us go to verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. That's that Levitical law. That's the Old Testament law. They made men priests. But the word of the oath, that's God the Father, which was since the law is ended, brethren, makes the Son. You see verse 28? Maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Maketh the Son a high priest forevermore. That's your high priest. That's your great high priest. Holy, harmless, separate from sinners. Above all, higher than the heavens. He's ever interceding for you, brethren. Jesus, sinless Jesus, was made to be sin for you. He was the offering of sin in your behalf. He took on your sins. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for you. And he bore it. And you're now free from it, from the penalty of it, before a holy God. He saved you. He saved you to the uttermost. He ever lives now to make intercession for you. Your prayers go to the Father through him. Your blessings come from the Father through him. He's ever interceding for you. You have an advocate with the Father. For that service, brethren, which Jesus provided and does provide, for that, brethren, you and I ought to love him and serve him above every other thing that can be named. Oh God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. I pray that I've expounded upon it correctly. I pray that the Holy Spirit will do its work. It will prick our hearts. It will cause us to turn from our sins and serve the one true and living God. We thank you for our Lord and Savior who has become our great high priest, who offered himself once without spot or blemish to you in our behalf. We thank you for accepting his offering. Oh God, may we daily present our bodies living sacrifices now in return. May we love you above all and serve you above all. Oh God, accept our offerings daily, we pray. May we be holy. May we separate ourselves from unholy things in this world. Help us. Warn us when we're about to do it. May we hear, Lord, your Holy Spirit speaking to us that we might avoid tarnishing what Christ has given us, soiling our garments. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us May we understand your word. Bless your word, please, to our hearts and us, O God, to your service. We pray in Jesus' name, the name of our great high priest. We pray it in his name and ask him to take it to you, O God. And grant, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.